Job is a little book. It's only three chapters, and yet it manages to tell the entire tale. They'll need 36 chapters, they'll need 46, they'll need 55 or 60, 137. No, the book of Job is concise, but it's thick, thick, meaty reading. And you can read it really fast. I mean, you know, pick it up and read it right now, and you could get through it before the end of this discussion, probably. But it is so heavy because what it discusses is something that every human being who's ever tried to work above their initial station has experienced. Every human being who's ever tried to break free of every besetting sin, every human being who's ever tried to do something great for God, what they have gone through. And when you read the book of Job, you may be surprised at what I just said. You may see it differently, which is the beauty of the Bible. We all find in it what the Holy Spirit is trying to show us. But when you read the book of Job, it's talking about massive destruction. Massive destruction on an apocalyptic scale, because the day of the Lord is mentioned several times. In the first chapter, we see a desolation that is so lamentable, it's so intense, so painful, that it actually says the joy is withered away from the sons of men. And how often have you felt that the joy in your life was being whittled away in the same way that the olive trees in chapter 1 had lost their bark? And what a horrible thing, because how can it continue to grow in a healthy manner if it's been devoured? Chapter 2 talks about the locusts, the army of locusts that are sent out by God, his army, a perfect army, like horses that travel in rank, and they don't trot upon each other. They don't bump and bother. They're perfect in their movements, and the work that they are called to do, they get done with such precision that before them is like the Garden of Eden and behind them a vast wasteland. These are things that happen in the life. It's like Job, we could say, is like many different positions in the Bible, many places in the Bible where prophecy is discussed in a manner that is left open. For instance, it's a real event that could be happening right now. It could be happening in the future, and it could be figurative as well. And when you look at the book of Job today, I want you to see it figuratively and as something that will happen in the future. Okay, figuratively, when you feel that the joy has withered away from your life, I want you to remember what is written in the book of Job. I want you to remember, because there are steps that are given there that will benefit you. When you feel like God has released the locusts into your world, and what was once a green pasture has now been eaten away into a vast wasteland. Okay? When you're looking at your life and that's what you see, I want you to remember that there are steps for you to get out of this position, that you do not have to stay in that way because you're still dealing with the God of justice. And just because you are living in a time of ruckus and mayhem, and it seems like everything is falling apart, and all of the good that you laid down was left to destruction because of the bad that you didn't take care of, or the bad that still remains inside of you, that should be purged by the army of the locusts. They leave nothing behind them, the locusts. I want you to remember that God has laid out steps for you. Blow the trumpet in Zion, says the first verse of chapter 2. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in the holy mountain, for the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand, the day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Being in that situation is not the end when you are connected to a God of justice. When the locusts swarm upon you and eat away at everything you are and you have nothing left, what should you do? How do you live? Is there something after this Joel experience? Well, there must be, because God gives instructions. Verse 21 of chapter 2 says, "Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, in the first month, and the floors will be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. The Lord will restore you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar, all those things that took stuff away. The great army of the Lord can be sent for destruction for your benefit." This is a prophecy found in the book of Joel. This is a fact. Destruction may come upon your life. It may come upon your life, but what does it do? If the locusts, if the great army of locusts come and eat away everything, what does it do? It's like a consuming fire. It's like something that makes room for better. It's like burning down the forest so the new plants can grow fresh without any of the filth that lived in them before, those things that were caught intrinsically in your DNA, those things that you fought against so hard, the reason that you made the effort to go outside of your sphere, that the reason that you wanted to fight so hard for the word of the Lord, those things have to be liberated from the filth, the destruction that was cultivated in your spirit. Those locusts do you good. That destruction is your liberation. So declare a fast. Fast. Fall down before the Lord your God. Fall before your maker. Rend your clothes and your hearts. Circumcise your heart. You know, a lot of times we forget that God laid out the plan. It was his plan from the very beginning, the way to purify the nature of his children who had so long been caught in a culture that was destructive to holiness. It was his plan that called for circumcision from Abraham's people. Just set them apart and make them different. Look, this is on your skin. This is you, and you are different. You're holy. You're not like everyone else, and it'll keep you healthier. That was the plan of God. So when Paul talks about circumcision and not circumcision in the book of Romans, if you look in the book of Romans chapter 3 and 4 and a lot through the book where he talks about the difference between circumcision and uncircumcision and how God is not choosing people based on whether or not their skin was cut on the eighth day, but he's choosing them on whether or not their heart is cut. The figurative and the physical go together. Take a look at your life. Don't be confused. Don't be lost in the destruction. Read the book of Joel. Sometimes we shy away from the things that seem hard in the Bible when it's talking about loss and darkness, when it's talking about the light from the sun and the moon and the stars being put out, as it does in the book of Joel. And sometimes we hide our face from these things. But I want you to remember that the Bible says very clearly that whom the Lord loves, he rebukes and chastens. And it says that the man who doesn't love his son neglects to chasten his son. And there's a clear reason why this is true. If you look around in your life today, look at the spoiled hearts and the wandering souls of people who never found a boundary. The things that they have been compelled to do by the evil spirit that lurks about seeking those that it may devour. Look around you, and you will see that those that go without punishment harden their necks, so that when hard times come, their neck is broken. And those that live with the chastisement of a loving, loving master who sees fit to slow us down are malleable. They can find another way. When tough times come, they don't say, oh no, everything has ended and stop working. Which Olympian has tried to make it to the Olympics by doing nothing, by saying, oh, I'm a natural runner. I can run this race and beat every person on the planet and win those medals. They won't even come in with a bronze. You have to be challenged. You have to work hard. You have to experience failure. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord God delivers them from them all. Okay. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He said, I'm going back. And then I'm going to come to the end of the book of Joel. I want you to read the book of Joel on your own because we're coming to the end of our time. But he said, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. He has done great things. He will do great things. The Lord will be jealous for his land, and he will pity his people, verse 18 of chapter 2. God is coming for you. He's coming for you. He wants you. He's coming for you. Hold out. You can manage. Declare a fast. Burn it out from the inside. Don't hide from yourself. And you'll receive. Joel chapter 3. Verse 20 and 21, Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation, for I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth, hallelujah, in Zion. God bless you. I seek you, I will find.